right. Well, it is truly a pleasure to be here this evening, and I wasn't sure if my family was going to be able to tag along, so I brought a couple pictures. My wife and I recently had the incredible opportunity to travel with a group from our church over to Israel, to go on a tour there, to be in the places where Jesus walked, where Jesus was and did much of his ministry. And this picture is from one of my favorite places. It's on the top of a place called Mount Arbel. And it looks out over the region. You can see the Sea of Galilee is off on the right-hand side of the picture there. And all this region down below is Capernaum and the city surrounding there where Jesus would have done much of his ministry. And so it was an incredible joy to be able to go over there. And I think I've got one other picture from a different spot, if it'll... There we go. So this is at En Gedi, which is another one of my favorite spots that my wife and I both loved. And it's something that she and I have talked about. I was able to go another time as well in previous years, and this is one of the places that I loved, and it has just come out of a season of a tough time for us in ministry and things like that. And I remember being at En Gedi and thinking about this place of rest. And we came out of this trip and really talked about how God right now for us has placed us in a place where things are seemingly going well, and we are at a good spot in life and ministry. And we're able in that sense to step on the other side and long to be an En Gedi, a help, a comfort for those in need, whether it's in our home, in our ministries. And so honestly, coming here tonight is a joy, and to be able to come alongside of a fellow brother and be able to share and be able to have this is an incredible time and ability to do that. And I have one more picture of us as a family of five. Two of our kids are here, and our youngest is our three-year-old. So James is our six-year-old, and then Leah just turned five, and Adeline is three. So just wanted to be able to share a quick picture of a recent trip that we took there to have a little time of getting away. So I want to give just a little bit of background about myself as well as we, before we dive into our text this evening, and where I grew up, things like I grew up in rural Indiana, farm life. I spent all of my teen years working on a commercial pig farm. That was my livelihood, and I loved it, and for a bit of a time considered staying in that line of work. And then God called me to ministry. I felt God's call to ministry through high school, and so then pursued going to Bible college and ended up at Baptist Bible College, what's now Clark Summit University, and that's where I met your pastor, Jonathan. I was a freshman. You were a junior, I believe, and he was in the room right next to me in a suite there in the college, and many, many fond memories of that year. And Jonathan was on security, and so there was just, I like to get up early, so there was often Jonathan is doing night shifts. He's working through the night and would come in the dorm, and he's like, "What are you doing awake?" And I'm like, "Well, I'm up for the day." And he's like, "Well, I'm going to bed." And so we kind of crossed paths in that way. But a lot of fun in our time there together. I was a part of tradition in our dorm when the guy got engaged was to throw them in the pond there on campus, regardless of the time of year. I don't think we ever did it when it was completely froze over and broke the ice. But there was some definitely frigid times, and I remember throwing Jonathan into the pond and then running down to the dorm there and meeting Emily. And that was the one time they would let a engaged couple kiss. Did you guys do that? Oh, is that what happened? Oh. I remember throwing you in the pond. So this happened. This is he remembers that part for sure. Oh. So, lots of fun memories. So I then graduated from Clark Summit University and went on to pursue a Master of Ministry degree from the seminary there at Baptist Bible Seminary. And then from there went and spent a few years as a youth pastor down in Florida, And then moved up to Rochester. It was at Northridge Church there for almost a year. And then just a little over 2 years ago, we moved to Central, where I'm the pastor of administration up in Yorkshire. And so we are loving our time there. I'm with the lead pastor, Ben Phillips, and his dad was the senior pastor before, Paul Phillips. And God is doing some really great things, and we love just being able to be a part of it. We are in the midst of a little bit of transition right now. We have a part-time youth pastor who also teaches at our Christian school, and he just in this last year felt God's call on his life to go into missions, and so he and his wife and their three kids are going to be headed off to train for the mission field. So he'll be with us through the end of the school year and into the summer, and then he's going to be heading off to go into missions. So we're right now working through what the future of that role looks like as far as youth pastor and this on the school front. He was teaching some classes and coaching and athletic director, so a number of hats that we're trying to fill and things like that. So but a lot of good things that are happening with Central, and we are looking at the days ahead and looking. We just sat down and talked through what our vision and plans are for the future, and are working right now on just continuing to structure some of our ministries as we seek to have communication across the board and look in ways which we can connect with the community. And in particular, as we look at this position with our youth pastor heading out, what that's going to look like in terms of a youth pastor who's going to have some ability to connect with the public school that's right across the street. And so lots of different things like that are going on. And we're really, really excited about the days that are ahead. So that just gives a quick snapshot. I feel like trying to run through everything real quick. But if you got a few minutes afterwards, I'd love to share more about the ministry and all that God is doing there. And we're just glad to be a part of it. And as I was thinking about our story and this recent trip that we took to Israel and just the perspective of life as a whole, I think I had been thinking through some ideas for what I would speak on tonight over some time. And then in the last couple weeks, really narrowed it down as I think it was about 10 or probably 2 weeks ago now. I had a lady stop by the church one afternoon, and Pastor Ben, our lead pastor, already headed out for the day. And this lady says, "Has anyone gone and checked on Donna Fiedler, an older widow in our church? Nobody's heard from her for a couple days." And so our facilities manager and myself drove over there, and eventually were able to locate a key and go into the house. And she was in her bed, and she had suffered from a stroke. And just this past, about 10 days, or 8 or 9 days ago now, or was it just earlier this week, she passed away. And just, it was one of those, when I got the news, one of those moments where you rejoice at a home going, but it really hurts. And just a dear lady who was just passionate about the gospel and about reaching people for Jesus and praying and just being constantly in prayer for our church and for people around her and just loving on people. And as I had that moment and thought about all that was going on, it made me think a lot about perspective and a lot about the things that I want to and I want us all to be pursuing as followers of Jesus Christ. And it brought me to the book of Philippians. So if you want to, you can turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Philippians. And tonight I want us to look at what in some ways may be familiar text to many of you. I want us to look at it in a way in which we're thinking about perspective and we're thinking about what God has for us as we take the message of the gospel, our true hope, and all that we have in God's word, and think about it for our lives. So I want to read from Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to focus in on verses 27 to 30. But to give us a little context, I want to step back a little further and read all the way from verse 19 down through the end of the chapter. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version here, and it says, "For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit,
of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet, which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that's far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. So as we look at these verses tonight and think about verses 27 to 30 in particular, I want to narrow our focus in on those few verses and talk about how we as followers of Christ can put on four characteristics that really help us live out a life that is worthy of the gospel, as Paul talks about it here. And as we start into this text, it starts in verse 27. It starts with the word in many translations that is only. Only. And as you see this word, it's this attention-grabbing word of don't miss this. Pay attention. Heads up. And I love even too the way the New Living Translation says it this way. Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news of Christ. He says, above all, you must live as citizens of heaven. Now, Paul is an incredible author and speaker and has ways of connecting with people. And this is a statement. When you think about looking back at the original language and this idea of living as citizens of heaven, they would have got this because he's writing this letter to the church at Philippi. And Philippi is governed by the Romans, but it's far, far away from Rome. So when he gives this picture that says, live as citizens of heaven, they have an instant picture of, we're citizens of Philippi, but we're under Roman authority. So he says, as you live here on the earth, don't live like this is it. You've got to live thinking, my citizenship is in heaven. It's so much more than the here. It's so much more than just what's going on right here and right now. My focus, my goal in living a life that's worthy of the gospel is about having my eyes turned towards heaven. And it's living a life that's full of power and full of worth, not in ourselves, but in who Christ is. And Paul uses this language all throughout his different writings. Over in Ephesians 4, chapter 1, it says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And Colossians 1:10, it should be up on the screen if you want to follow along. Colossians 1:10 says, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And 1 Thessalonians 2:12 says, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. So what it comes down to in many ways is answering this question of how do we live our lives and do we live it in such a way that is worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And many of you may have heard of the poem called The Dash. And ultimately, It's about living your life and what your life looks like. When someone's reading your eulogy and you think about a headstone that has the day you were born and the day that you died. And the end of that poem goes, but the thing that people will remember is how you spent the dash. The time that God gives us here on this earth, answering that question, how did you spend the dash? And the poem ends, what will other people say about how you spent the dash? But I think the better question would be, how would God say that we spent the dash? Our lives. Was it about bringing glory to Him and living a life that is worthy of the gospel? And Paul goes on here to say, whether I come and see you or am absent, that I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind striving side by side. So Paul says, listen, he's writing this from prison. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to make it to you guys, but whether I can come or whether I can't, I want to hear this awesome report that you guys are striving to live a life worthy of the gospel. And we have three little kids, as I showed you the picture, and we have them here with us tonight. And so on occasion, we'll get a babysitter to come. And one of the things that we always find ourselves saying is, when we get home, we want to hear that you guys were good. And I'm sure all of you guys that are parents and have had your kids growing up, you can remember that. And maybe grandkids now, or if you have the grandkids there, and you're like, listen, when your mom and dad come back, I'm gonna tell them you were good no matter what, right? So there's those moments as well. And Paul here is saying, listen, whether I can come or whether I can't, I want to hear the good news that you guys, that you have been living out a life that is worthy of the gospel. And it's an incredible challenge that we have to focus on and look at every single day. And as we walk down through this, I want to start then looking at the characteristics that I said we'd talk about tonight. And the first one is standing firm. See, Paul is good at giving word pictures here, and just as I was saying before with the citizenship, now he says, you understand this, what it means to stand firm, what it means to hold your ground in battle and stand up for what is right. And Paul certainly understood this as he faced persecution, and the people know that he has faced this persecution, and he says, I had to take all this on, and I want you guys to be willing to do the same, to be willing to stand up when everything around you is saying something different, to be willing to stand up and hold your ground on what it means. And this isn't going to be easy either. And I want us to look at and think about it. You can turn back just a page or two in your Bible, or I'll have it up on the screen as well, Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 11, so again, a section of Scripture that may be somewhat familiar, but such a needed reminder. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. See, Paul says, this isn't going to be easy. And this is another letter that Paul is writing to the Ephesians there, the church at Ephesus. And now here in Philippians, he's saying, church, you got to stand up and stand firm in the truth of the gospel, that you know to be the only source of true hope, of true joy, is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he goes on to talk about then what this looks like as you come to the end of the verse that I was reading before. I may hear of you that you're standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. So, first is standing firm, and secondly, it's with the same focus. That should be popping up on the screen here real quick. Same focus. So number two, there in the notes that you received on your way in, same focus. He says, standing side by side, striving together for the faith of the gospel, one spirit, one mind. This is all about a focus on unity, which is a huge part of church life and church world, and something that you have to be focusing on, we have to be focusing on all the time. And as I was talking a little bit, or give a little bit more of an update too with where we're at with Central, we've recently, back in January, added another part-time staff member helping out with our kids ministry. So between her and our facilities manager that's kind of around the facilities, and myself and Pastor Ben, we try to get together once a month, and we put together some staff values, things that we are going to focus on and do everything that we do based on these principles from the Bible. And one of those that we landed on was unity, that as we work together as a staff, as we seek to lead the various pieces of ministry that God has given to us, to be unified. And this is such an important thing for us in our day and age, not only as one, you know, in our specific church, but amongst Christians at large. In our world, there is much going on, much divisiveness, and it's such an important piece for Christians to be able to come together and be unified in what they believe about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, there's certainly going to be a lot of things that we don't 100% agree on with various organizations and people and all those kind of things that would doctrinally not be where we are. But on the gospel of Jesus Christ, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have to be unified to say, this is about lifting up the name of Jesus. And when Paul talks about, he's talking to this local church at Philippi and saying, you've got to strive at this together. So you guys here at Allegheny, and for us at Central, and as the people and the communities that we impact, we have to strive together to be and with the same focus, the same mind of reaching people with the gospel, the true hope and message of the gospel, living lives that are worthy of the gospel. And Paul basically even uses this phrase here. He says, whether I come and see you or I'm absent, that I may hear that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side. He says, do you know what would bring true, incredible joy to my heart? Is to hear that you guys are walking this together, walking this road together, living lives that show that you are all about living a life that is worthy of the gospel. And John Piper has a quote in his book called Don't Waste Your Life. And he asks this question, when was the last time someone asked you about the reason for the hope that is in you? That's what Peter said when we should always be ready to give an answer for, when he said this in 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that's in you. Why don't people ask us about our hope? The answer is probably that we look as if we hope in the same things they do. And those are kind of tough words to swallow. That as we're out in the world, does our hope and our joy look different than the rest of the world? Or are we just going with the flow and look the same and go about things and find our hope in the things of this world or the pursuits of life and all that's around us? Or is it obvious that we're living as citizens of heaven? So first we talked about, talk about that again for just a second. Walking like Christ means consistency and unity. And I wanted to take a look at 1 Peter 3:8 when it says, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. And as we think about that, do our lives exemplify those things? Is that verse up here on the screen? Let's look at that again together. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do we show those things with our lives and walk in a way that is displaying that we want to live lives that are worthy of the gospel? So we've looked at standing firm and having the same focus. And then the third point is sticking together. Sticking together. And you may think this goes right along in the same vein, and it kind of does. But I want to focus on the last end of that verse there where it says, striving by side for the faith of the gospel. And in some ways, I feel like you guys being here tonight get it and would know that Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. Sticking together, striving side by side, coming together for encouragement, for growth, for building up one another. That all through the New Testament, we see the one another statements. Walking together, doing life together. So we come together for this purpose of growing together, encouraging one another up. And thinking as well, when John 13:35 says, how will people know that we are followers of Christ? By how we love one another. And thinking about this striving side by side and this working together. And you may have even heard illustrations similar to this before. If you think about what horses or any animals are able to do in working, whether in pulling things. And I don't want to mess up the numbers, so I wrote them down here. But if you were to take an average horse, or roughly horses could pull somewhere in the range of 700 to 800 pounds. So let's say if one horse could pull 700 pounds and another horse could pull 800 pounds, you would think the math, these two horses together could pull about 1,500 pounds, right? 700 plus 800, 1,500 pounds these horses can pull together. But from a study and guys doing this, they found that those two horses together could pull about double that, about 3,000 pounds could be pulled. And part of that they could come down to was the simple fact that they're working together side by side, right there, striving together to pull something, to achieve something. And again, I think this speaks to the unity as well, that we can often be pulling in all sorts of different directions and allow life to pull us in all sorts of different directions when we need to be together, sticking together, striving for the gospel in all that we do. And it's incredible to think about it in that light. And Paul goes on then to say here in verse 28, not frightened in anything by your opponents. He says, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be things that come into our lives. But we must stand firm. We must strive together and stick together and have this same kind of focus. Not frightened in anything by your opponents, because this is a sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation. He says, listen, when people are striving against you, when people are hurling insults at you, when things are tough coming at you, often it's because you're pursuing the gospel and focused on the gospel. And people know that, and ultimately Satan knows that. I was sharing yesterday, we had our Grand Prix, our little kids racing their derby cars. They won a Grand Prix there back at our church. And I was sharing yesterday from 1 Peter 5:8 that Satan, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking people to devour. And I was using the track as an illustration, that the track there that you're racing the car on keeps your car going straight down the path. But when it's off the path, and I gave him the illustration, I had a car that I built that I took to that. I've kept it for, I think I made it in fifth or sixth grade, kept it all these years, and had it last year at the race and showed the kids and had fun with it. Brought it home, and we have a cute little dog, and I left the car down somewhere, and the car was kindling in no time. She destroyed it. And I said to the kids, Satan is ready. Satan is ready to pounce, and he's prowling like a roaring lion. But don't be worried and frightened by those things. Be prepared. And that's what Paul is saying here. Be prepared. Be prepared for tough things from your opponents and ultimately from the opponent, Satan. And that brings us to verse 29 and the final, the fourth point here for tonight, which is suffering for Christ. And unbeknownst to me, it's interesting that that's the direction of where you shared this evening and talking about tough things that we will go through in life. And it's interesting, as I studied for this and got to this verse, and it stuck out to me how it says, "For it has been granted to you that you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake." And there are times where, when we go through difficult things, it's natural to ask the question, why? What's God doing with this? What's going on? And Paul says here, it's been granted to you. And that's not an easy word to hear either. And I think back even when I was in seminary, there was a professor with the first ministry that I was, when I was a youth pastor in Florida, that he came to me one day, and I was all excited. I'm gonna pursue this ministry down in Florida to be a youth pastor, and this is an incredible opportunity. And he turns to me and with a completely straight face says, "What if God's moving you all the way to Florida just to bring you through a fire?" And it took me back, and I stood there for a minute, and I think in the moment probably even chuckled. And as we were in ministry in Florida, there was some difficult things and some tough conversations and some tough things that happened that ultimately led us to leaving the ministry there in Florida, and God working the pieces and some details together to move us to a new place. And it's tough. It's tough to hear those words and think about what this looks like sometimes. But Paul goes on in the rest of this letter, and I want to jump over for just a second to chapter 3, where Paul says in verses 7 and following, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death." So as we think about and look at those verses, that gives us an incredible perspective. And a couple others I want to share with you as well. If you flip over, you can follow along the screen. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, for you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by a fire, may be found to result in the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory." And over in Acts chapter 5, verse 41, where it says, "Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name." See, Paul finishes with an encouragement here in verse 30 and back in chapter 1, where it says, "Engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had and now hear that I still have." He says, we're in this battle, we're in this journey together. Fight the good fight. Stay faithful. Stay focused on the things that I've laid out here in these verses. And for us, as we look back and think about these four points tonight of standing firm, of having a focus that's together, of sticking together, and then ultimately as well, suffering for Christ. We have to ask what this looks like for us. And for each of us, it may be a different thing. Maybe you're here today and you're not. It's hard sometimes to stand firm in your faith when the world is combating what we know to be true. And last year, I shared with our church at the beginning of 2017 that one of the words of the year by one of the dictionary companies was post-truth. That we are in a day and age where truth is relative. Truth is what you want it to be, what you like it to be. And often that means an attack on the authority of God's word. And there's never been a time where it's more important to stand on what our Bibles say, to stand on the authority of the word of God as our source of truth, the only source of truth. So maybe that's for you tonight. You say, I got to work on, I got to think about what it means for me to stand firm in my faith. Maybe it's with this same focus and sticking together. Maybe you are looking and longing for someone to do this journey with. I would encourage you to find that in community of people around you, to be sticking together, striving together side by side with this same mind, this same focus, this same heart. And then as has been shared this evening, suffering. Tough times will come, whether that's direct opposition to faith that you're standing on or a tough trial that God brings into our lives that we don't understand at the time, but God is doing something with. God will do incredible things when we allow Him to work in our hearts and in our lives through the power of His Word as we strive after Him to live lives that are worthy of the gospel. Let me pray for us tonight. God, we are thankful, so thankful for your word that you have given to us. And as we right now have been able to look at the book of Philippians and this letter that Paul wrote to this church, may it be a challenge for us that we work together as Christians, as followers of you, to seek after you and pursue you with all that we are. And may we walk well to be worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that our lives would show that you are our true source of hope and joy and strength and comfort, that you are the God of the impossible, that you change hearts and lives forever, and that it's you who deserve all the praise and the glory, both now and forever. And it's in Jesus' great name we pray. Amen.